Hey, TVG gang, Jake Moss here, back in the chair, back in the studio, sitting in front of the mic, and very happy to be here with you, coming into your ear holes. That sounded weird on so many levels. I apologize, but the title of this episode is Love, Sex, and Dating in Austria. You clicked on it because you're a kinky one, aren't you? That's why you're here, and I don't blame you. I mean, it's one of the most glorious things of life, you know? Loving somebody, dating somebody, and getting naked with somebody. Okay, there's no way... I can't sound sleazy in this episode. There's going to be at least... It's like sleaze bingo, pretty much. We're going to be playing sleaze bingo throughout the whole episode. I don't know if you noticed... The song at the top of the episode, I created it in the spirit of this week's topic, sex, love, and dating. Just put it together, you know, a few hours before. Actually, you won't believe it. It took me 2 minutes to put together with an AI tool. That's right. I've been playing around in the agency with some AI tools that generate music. And this, it's incredible. Like, we were creating just a satirical kind of tune for a TikTok video, and it generated the tune in a matter of like 20 seconds after I prompted it very, very quickly. And yeah, what it came out with literally made me spring up from my chair and say, AI is going to take over us all. It was incredible. But anyway, less about AI, because AI cannot do the naughty tang, and people in Austria are doing the naughty tang. Sorry about that. I'm a typical Australian. I get all awkward around the topic of sex. Look, I have chosen to read a chapter. I'm alone in the studio. That also sounds creepy. No, I'm alone in the studio. I thought I'd start talking to you about sex. I have got my pants on, I promise. I wrote a chapter in the book that we wrote, Shamamal. You can pick it up in your nearest book, Talia bookstore. I wrote a chapter in the book called Sex and Dating in Austria. And it's time I read that to you, because it's a great chapter. It was always very well received and loved, and got a lot of comments when we would read it at the readings. So I'm going to read that to you now. Here we go. I'm going to transition in with some sexy sax music. So just like you were naturally imagining Gabriel and I doing some sexy crutch grabbing fast spins, you know, with our abs and pecs out, boy band dance moves to the track at the top of the episode. Now you can imagine us giving you a nice little relaxing massage on your shoulders and neck, because you deserve it, you little kink. Here we go, Sex and Dating in Austria. Taught how to put a condom on a banana. Sex and dating podcaster Leonie Rachel Soyel describes the standard sex education in Austrian schools when she was in high school. Oh, and then they also showed us some video that looked like 70s softcore porn. But why the banana? That's so weird, says Leonie. She makes a good point. There's only a very small percentage of the population having banana sex. And bananas can't even get you pregnant or give you an STD. They could have just used sex toys. I don't get it, Leonie adds. Budget, I answer. School budgets probably can't afford dildos in every classroom. They can't even afford iPads, let alone dildos. Imagine a class of Austrian teens playing around with the Satisfyer Pro 3000 when the teacher's not looking. By playing around, I don't mean playing around like you're now imagining them playing around with it, as in like you would play around with it. That is, if you play with it, I mean, if you play with one, forget it. But just imagine the G-Punkt 5000 turning up on the school's expense report. Try justifying that to the Bildungsminister. That's the education minister. Considering that this has been the extent of sex education for at least a couple of generations of Austrians, they're doing great. Rates of teenage pregnancies have remained relatively stable over the years. Austrians seem to have a healthy and normal relationship with bananas. And apparently, according to some recent surveys, they're one sexually satisfied nation. This cock blocks the reputation Austrians seem to have earned when it comes to dating and sex, based on the Tinder interviews I conducted for this chapter. Basing this chapter, obviously, solely on my experiences in dating Austrians would be absurd, right? Besides the limited sample size of one person's Austrian dating career, I would actually question the quality of my research sample group. I mean, I had one person I dated who woke up one morning after a first date by pepper spraying me. She was an artist and wanted to paint a vulnerable crying male, which she very much did in the end. I did let her paint me, but I still to this day don't understand why she didn't just ask me and we could have used onions or something. But anyway, performance art, right? Then there was that other one girl who, after a one-night stand, decided to squat in my living room, as in she didn't leave for a week. She just wouldn't leave. I had to get a friend to pretend to be a cop, and they ushered them out of the living room after threatening them with a bunch of fictional laws. You've got to say, it was a stellar performance. So as I said, this is just a few of the Austrians I've dated. But I'm confident that this kind of sample group will not reflect your average Austrian in a dating and sex context. I did consider for a moment how cool it would be to play a nationwide round of the game Never Have I Ever. How cool would that be? If you don't know what Never Have I Ever is, it's like a party game where you pretty much say something. Never have I ever kissed a horse, for example. And if somebody has kissed a horse in the room or the group you're playing it with, they have to drink, right? And this is where Gabriel would slip in the joke about how when somebody put forward in the room in Austria, never have I ever slept with my sister, 60% of the countryside Austrians would have to drink. But to be honest, I'm not getting involved in such a Vienna versus the rest of Austria rivalry. That's a Gabriel thing. So anyway, I've been doing some research. I set up profiles on the dating apps Hinge and Tinder and interviewed dozens of people about their dating and sex experiences in Austria. I also interviewed sex and dating podcaster Leonie Rachel Soyel, who lends a more expert and female perspective to the topic. Plus, I spoke to Georg Peter Mandl, influencer alias Georg's Gallery, who is the co-host of the dating podcast Eine Geht Noch. He offers insights on how the Austrian dating and sex scene is in the LGBTQ+ community looks like. For some reason, Austrians have earned a reputation abroad that is the complete polar opposite of the more passionate lovers in neighboring countries like the French and the Italians when it comes to sex and dating. Let's just say the reputation would have it that if the French and the Italians were actual neighbors living next to Austrians, they'd be the kind of neighbors you'd hear making all kinds of primal monkey sex sounds at all hours of the day. Meanwhile, their Austrian neighbors would be calling the police on them for the noise disturbance, of course, and constantly sunbaking and gardening naked in their backyards. When it comes to dating Austrian men, I think Leonie Rachel captured the essence of the country's reputation abroad best when she said, "Dating a French guy is like eating dessert all the time, while dating an Austrian is like eating a big bowl of goulash." Now, I'm not sure if Leonie intended it, but I think some Austrians would actually find that comparison to be a compliment and maybe even a turn on, especially if the goulash is made with Oma's secret recipe. But let's not spend our time comparing the Austrians to French, Italians, and goulash. Why would we? There is no evidence that those sweet-talking nations do the horizontal waltz better than the Austrians. Actually, there's exactly the evidence of the opposite. Have you seen an Austrian waltzing? The way they move their hips on the sidestep, sways of the box step, and glide across the dance floor? They say the tango and the salsa are sexy dances done by passionate people, but how about the waltz, people? Like the perfect box step, slow, quick, quick, and repeat it twice. And for some men, that's about it.
Oops.
But no shaming here. That's how we make love in Austria, baby. Slow, quick, quick, and glide. Anyhow, to return to the rumors floating around about how Austrians do flirting, dating, and fucking. One Spanish guy I interviewed had a lot of fun describing the dating process in Austria for me. First, you need to get a Genehmigung from the dating Behörde to set up the first date. So a Genehmigung is a permission slip, and a dating Behörde would be like a dating department at the city office. Sorry, I have to explain the joke to the internationals here. It's important. Then before sleeping together on the first date, you need... this is not a very good Spanish accent, by the way, but fuck it. You need to have a consent agreement form signed by both parties and lodged for processing, which can sometimes take up to 2 weeks. And you need to print and bring the original hard copy of all forms to the date. And all of this bureaucracy is part of the flirting. Okay. So this guy was clearly joking, but he finished his rant by saying he found the Austrians awkward and stiff to date. His words, not mine. However, we could conclude that his humor maybe didn't rub the Austrians the right way, so it could have been him. A Tyrolean woman I interviewed on Hinge had me in stitches as she described the Austrian mating ritual in the countryside as if it was a nature documentary. So please imagine the following, and I'll do my best to do the voices, being described in the overly enthusiastic style of the late and great Australian Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. Here we see the Austrian mating dance in all its glory. The male prepares by hydrating heavily with large amounts of alcohol. Crikey, look at him go. The males seek to outdrink each other in a display of strength. The female chooses their mate by assessing who is standing still, has not pissed himself or vomited on themselves or passed out in a corner. Crikey, mate, look at that! Or you could imagine it in the voice of David Attenborough. Austrian mating dances have evolved in recent years, especially in urban habitats. The beginning of the mating ritual begins with a swipe right. The typical mating dance continues with sitting and drinking and awkward staring into each other's eyes, in between some talking in an establishment specifically set up for such an activity. This continues until both mates have drunk enough to activate the right amount of horniness, at which point they'll go through the painful process of splitting the bill to the euro cent. If the splitting of the bill part of the ritual is survived by both, mating will commence at one of the mating partner's native habitats. It is now time for the so-called Brunftzeit. Once the mating is complete, both will say they'll message, but never will. Or they'll alternatively wake up shortly after, married and with children, and moved into one of the parents' old Bauernhof homes, and they're living similar lives to what their parents have.
Scusi, ha un momento per commentare l'accaduto?
Now, most of the Austrian people are engaged in the same fuckfest that has no rhyme or reason that the rest of the world is. Everybody trying to get their fill of intimacy and bodily fluids, extinguish their cravings. Some sex being done for love, some for fun, some just because, well, you're drunk and it's on offer. This is all universal stuff. But according to the research I've conducted and the people I've spoken to who spend a lot of time with the subject, there are some things that are distinctly Austrian when it comes to how dating and sex goes down here. There were the patterns that emerged from the interviews that are expressed in the exchanges shared above. So all of those things I just talked about from the stories from those other people. But how people flirt, date, and have sex in Austria is obviously too varied to sum up in a couple of pages, right? So here's a disclaimer, a warning. Please remember, there are generalizations, and no doubt all of you sexy, smart people reading this book are all exceptions and are amazing lovers in all senses of the word. So this chapter is broken up into subtitles. So I'm just going to say subtitle, and because that gives you a bit more guidance as I read it. Subtitle. Dating an Austrian culture quirk number one. Online dating apps blowing up the old school pickup process was definitely a win for the Austrian dating scene. Approaching an Austrian cold on the street and flirting with him will get you the same response as when you fart in a narrow Altbau elevator. The flirtee won't be mean about it, but there will be awkwardness, as it's just not done often in Austria. The farting in the elevator, sure, but approaching somebody cold to flirt, not so much. Most people meet their partner, if not in school already, they meet them over friends or in the workplace. Or now, also over dating apps. Flirting is only done in Austria when there's a clear goal in mind, according to Leone. When you flirt, you want to fuck. While this may seem understandable to many reading this, in many cultures, flirting is a form of adult's play. French and Italians flirt because it's fun. Austrians flirt only when they are aiming to get somewhere with it, says Leone. Leone recounts an experience she had in Paris. I was standing in one of the longest queues you could imagine in a bakery, but the French guy serving me took his sweet, sweet time flirting with me anyway. And nobody said anything. Could you imagine if that happened in a biller? A cashier couldn't flirt for a second without being yelled at by somebody in the back of the line. Does this mean flirting only has a practical purpose in Austria? That it should only be used in the most efficient way possible to reach a specific goal? That's one unromantic and cold picture of the Austrians. But yeah, I guess I could only imagine somebody being yelled at if they were being flirted with at the front of the line. Georg confirmed the same reality as a gay guy living in Vienna. I think I've been approached and flirted with maybe 5 times in my life, max. That's not an Austrian thing to do. If somebody comes up to you and flirts, you respond with, "What the fuck do you want? Don't disturb my peace, leave me be." When I ask him why he thinks this is, he says that Austrians are simply not great at small talk, which essentially flirting is, and are very shy in public. Even if somebody asks me for directions, I go into defense mode. "Why me?" says Georg. Georg says this closed default setting is even worse in Vienna from his experience. The Viennese people are always in their groups. They're hard to crack. They stay in their safe space of security and connection. I even feel like I'd need to convince guys why it's a good idea to step out of their bubble and date me. Maybe that's what we're doing wrong. We should rather be going up to the people we fancy on the street and giving them sales like PowerPoint presentations on why they should date us. Meanwhile, Georg said the online dating app, while offering a gateway to meeting people easier, has made commitment rare in the LGBTQ plus community. Grindr is a highway of dating, sex, and messages. So many options, so nobody commits. Until the last second before a date starts, you don't know if it's going to happen. Somebody you're on a date with could be perfect, nice, the whole package. But maybe the next guy could be better. Okay, subtitle. Dating dress code in Austria. Come as you are. One thing that defines the dating scene in Austria for me is that compared to Australia, everybody I've gone out with has always come dressed casual and comfortable to a date. I found this to be a truly refreshing change and a more natural way of doing things. In Australia, a country of people that wears flip-flops most of the year, women will not go on a date without a face fully made up and an outfit that has already been designed, that has clearly been designed and put together specifically to make people look when they walk in the room. Meanwhile, once you start dating, the outfits gradually become more and more casual until your standard date outfit is track pants and flip-flops. Meanwhile, in Austria, I've experienced that most women I've dated turn up more natural, less makeup, an outfit that expresses who they are rather than who the guy might like them to be. This I really, really appreciate in Austria. There you go, women of Austria, another guy telling you what he likes, just what you needed. While we are comparing Austria to Australia, I've always also found people are much more comfortable with their bodies and sex in Austria, especially women. Sex on the first date is normal in Austria, as sex and your genitals are not a scary thing. They're just not a big deal. Leonie, who is a much more trustworthy voice when it comes to this, says that while sex on the first date is completely normalized, the topic of sex is still taboo. Sex is definitely not an open topic in Austria. This is changing, but people generally don't talk about it in public. It's a taboo topic, even amongst most friends groups. Leonie did say this is changing and changing fast with the sex positive movement, though. It's currently in a weird place with those feeling emboldened by the sex positive movement. It went from just men showing off and talking about sex and who they've fucked, to also women doing the same. Sex is still not being talked about in a healthy, normal way. Georg said it's the complete opposite in the LGBTQ plus community. We fuck around and then we tell everybody we can about it. I loved interviewing Georg for this. Sex on the first date is like going for a coffee, says Georg. We are super open with the topic. In my friends group, we always talk about sex, non-stop. I know everything they're doing and they know everything I'm doing. Not only is talking about sex normalized amongst the LGBTQ plus community, but so is having sex with somebody and becoming friends with them afterwards is extremely common and normal. Having sex and then becoming friends is something we're good at in the gay community, says Georg. Sex is how gay and queer people meet. Hearing from Leonie that a lot of Austrians were shush-shush about sex surprised me at first. But then it just made me realize how uptight Australians are about sex. I was reminded of this when my five-year-old brought home a sex education book for kids from the library. I flicked through it and stumbled across a chapter, Liebe machen, which read, Wenn Erwachsene ineinander verliebt sind, möchten sie mehr als küssen und streicheln. Meistens ziehen sie sich dann aus und kuscheln sich aneinander. What the fuck? This is like softcore porn. It continues in the book. Der Penis des Mannes gleitet in die Scheide der Frau. Das ist für beide ein wunderschönes Gefühl. At this point, I stopped reading the book. My official reason is because I was shocked and appalled with what I was reading in a book that my five-year-old was learning about sex with. However, between you and I, the real reason I stopped reading is because I wasn't sure if it's a crime in Austria to masturbate to a kid's book. That joke is a on the edge one, but I enjoyed writing it. Most Austrian love stories begin with spritzer or beer. This is the subtitle. In general, the right amount of alcohol makes better communicators out of all of us, making it perfect for dating. It lowers inhibitions and has the effect of giving us a confidence like we're the main characters in our own rom-com. The role alcohol plays in romance is universal. However, the presence of booze runs like a red thread through the entire dating process in Austria. As Gabriel eloquently put it, you get fucked and then you fuck. In Austria, you go for drinks. 99% of the time, people want to go for drinks, says Leonie. Alcohol plays a big role in Austrian dating. You connect through alcohol because your inhibitions leave. Alcohol accelerates the dating process. You reveal yourself quicker, you go deeper, and have sex faster than you would if you took alcohol out of the equation. That line doesn't mean you have really fast sex. It means that you get to the sex part quicker. I just imagine that in my head. Leonie talks of having different experiences when dating other nationalities while abroad. In Amsterdam, she describes she went on a lot of dates in which she'd do some kind of activity together with the person. She speaks of one unexpectedly emotional date on which they visited the Anne Frank Museum. Interesting date idea. In Berlin, she went on a lot of dates where they'd go out partying and clubbing together. But in Austria, people go for drinks. Well, as Gabriel put it, I've also gone on dates where we'd do sports together or go for a walk. He even spoke of playing badminton with somebody on a first date, whacking a feathered ball, which just so happens to be called a shuttlecock in English, at each other with rackets from opposite ends of a net. Does sound like a damn weird first date idea to me, but I'm not judging. I guess you can tell a lot about how a person is in bed by their backhand, and their front hand for that matter. But anyway, Gabrielle did add, ah yeah, but after doing some sports together, we'd go drinking. Meanwhile, Georg says he knows every park in Vienna thanks to the common dating habit in the gay community of grabbing a coffee and going for a walk. Austrians love to go on walks. It's also a convenient activity for a date, as you can escape easily. I'm imagining Georg on a date going wrong, suddenly making a sprint for it across a field when his date bends down to pick up their glove. The Donau Canal in Vienna is also a popular spot, but if you walk down the Donau Canal, it's like intentionally announcing to the gay community that you're on a date, as you'll no doubt see several gay guys you know there while on your walk, says Georg. Subtitle: Austrians are the most ghosted people on the planet. I have no idea if this is true, but from the many people I've spoken to for this chapter, they had all been ghosted on a regular basis. Ghosting is so tragically common in this country, and this makes a lot of sense. I've noticed in professional situations and in friendships, Austrians avoid having hard conversations at all costs. One Austrian woman named Sabrina I spoke to on Hinge told me she'd been ghosted 18 times out of the 30 dates she'd had in the last years. When I asked her why she thinks this is, she puts it down to Austrian guys being bad communicators. They don't speak openly about their feelings because they've never been taught how, she said. I know some of you may be questioning, is it her fault? Is it Sabrina's fault? As that is the sadly predictable response when a woman is involved in this circumstance, but she was far from alone. Every single person I interviewed talked about Austria's ghosting epidemic. Epidemic. The most common thing parents have taught their millennial kids in Austria is that you bottle things up, especially boys. You should stoically and quietly take care of those raging emotions yourself. This ends in a lot of passive-aggressive behavior, explains Sabrina. Georg also confirmed how widespread this habit is and how he feels it's a signature Austrian move. I've been ghosted a lot. I think that's an Austrian thing. We don't want the confrontation. I don't know why. Maybe we're scared of the reaction. I think we just don't want to be impolite and hurt somebody while not realizing that the ghosting itself is even more hurtful. This is apparently not just an online dating app thing. Georg speaks of even being ghosted by past dates or potentials his messaging with online in the real offline world. Whether it's a guy I dated a few months, so this is Georg, whether it's a guy I dated a few months ago or a guy I'm chatting to online, or often see them at a party, and they won't speak to me or even acknowledge my existence. They will send you a dick pic on Monday and then on Tuesday act like they don't know you at a party. Georg says Austrians are simply shy in public and fear, above all else, being in an awkward situation as they're awkward communicators. Leonie said she'd also experienced and met many that had the same experience. Dating an Austrian guy can be difficult as there is a little direct communication and lots of things are left unclear and you're left guessing. You don't know what they want, and so many mixed feelings are communicated, says Leonie. Leonie then compared it to dating an Austrian's arch rival, a German. A lot of the Germans I've dated are extremely direct, says Leonie. I once dated a guy who said in the first date, when do you have time next week, as I'd love to meet you again. Leonie said this was a new and refreshing experience for me. Germans are so direct, the above example feels like he's booking the next date in like a root canal with their dentist. But I get it. Every aspect of relationships is defined by how good a communicator both people are. This also applies to sex. With the example of the direct and straight to the point German above, I imagine their dirty talk being similar to a super detailed matter-of-fact YouTube tutorial video. As follows. I'm going to massage your nipple in an anti-clockwise motion for maximum stimulation. My penis is currently 60% loaded in the erection process. more stimulation is required around the testicle region. Whereas the vague, unclear Austrian way of doing things would be more like trying to follow IKEA instructions. Nobody knows how to clearly read them, and you always do something wrong and have to start from the beginning. Talking about dirty talk, Leonie explained that most dirty talk in Austria is made up of the stuff in porn and is often over the top. There's often not any dirty talk or any talk at all during sex, according to those I interviewed. There's not a lot of chatter in bed from what I have experienced and heard from others, explained Leonie. Many of those I interviewed confirmed this. I asked them, what is the most common Austrian dirty talk you've ever heard? I only got one person giving me a detailed first-hand experience. A guy from Salzburg shared this exchange. Er, gib mir Tiernamen. Ich, Schmetterling. Er, gib mir böse Tiernamen. Ich, du böse Schmetterling. I have an idea for how we can solve this communication breakdown in the bedroom for all Austrians. The Austrian Kama Sutra. This Austrian spin on the ancient Indian Sanskrit text on sexuality, eroticism, and emotional fulfillment in life would be full of positions and moves that Austrians would specifically relate to. For example, the BMW, or the BMW. Where you lie back and make the symbol of the BMW logo by holding your bent legs with your outstretched hands. Just try it instead of trying to imagine it. Or then there's the eye-pecking technique, where you grab a male's two eye, so which are balls in English, and smack them together until one hurts more than the other. Or there's the Punktlichkeit move, where you set a timer for a specific time and both orgasm at that exact time. Or there's the Dämpfklopfen, which is similar to the party game Topfklopfen. Or the 10 Decker Extrawurst, bitte. I'll leave that one to your imagination. Here's a politically inspired one, the corrupt Austrian politician. It's pretty much the doggy style position renamed. You always get fucked from behind. Then there's the Tom Turbo, pretty much the maneuver that every average man outperforms in nearly every sexual encounter. You get it? Okay, I'll spell it out. A Tom Turbo is prematurely ejaculating. There, you made me say it. Okay, I'll stop there, but this could go on forever. Subtitle. Austrians don't need my help when it comes to sex, as they are generally happy fuckers, literally. According to a 2021 study, Austrians are having sex regularly and are generally very sexually satisfied people. More than 3/4 of couples are currently very or somewhat satisfied with their sex life. And the Styrians are having the best time in the sack, with 85% claiming they have a fulfilling sex life. In close second were the Corinthians at 83%. Last place ranking went to the Viennese at 69%. Considering the vast difference in sexual satisfaction, I would suggest that Styrians should be giving seminars on how to have a fulfilling sex life in Vienna. And yes, I wrote this line in there for all of you reading this to imagine A, Styrians actually doing this to an audience of the Viennese, and B, you can imagine the reaction from the Viennese when they do this. Meanwhile, while the countryside of Austria are getting laid more often than the city folk, there are many of them flocking to the city for sex-positive parties, according to Leonie. I've regularly been the host that vets people at the door of sex-positive parties to make sure they are there for the right reasons. And I've encountered many people from the countryside of Austria traveling for the parties, explains Leonie. When I ask them why they travel for the party, they usually express one of two things, or both. That there aren't such parties on offer in the countryside, or that they know everybody in their hometown, so a sex-positive party would be kind of awkward, even if it was on offer. Leonie tells me that swingers clubs are common in the countryside, though, but they are typically frequented by an older crowd. This got me curious and had me Googling, which led me to find a lot of clubs out bush in Austria. One I found is called the Swinger Club Butterfly, which is close to the German border in Oberösterreich. It has a thrilling description on its about page. Nach Österreich, das Land der Bergen und Seen. da gibt es doch sicher noch etwas anderes für das besondere Vergnügen. Never did I think I would find the perfect way to describe Austria on a swingers club website, but these two lines nailed it. Beneath that sweet sound of music, tracht-wearing, pristine mountains and lake surface of Austria, there's certainly some dark and dark humid, kinky and wild undertone to Austria. The country is like a Punschkrapfen, covered in an extremely sweet pink hard shell and filled with cake leftovers of all kinds. Oh, and a couple more facts in that study. Besides the standard places sex is had, the bedroom, the shower, the kitchen, Austrians love doing it in the great outdoors. It came in third place, equal to the kitchen. Yep, that makes a lot of sense. The kitchen and the forests are two of Austrians' favorite place in the world. Austrians also love cuddling after sex. In general, an Austrian likes to get it on for a total of 3/4 hour. 13 minutes of foreplay, 14 minutes of rooty tooty, and 21 minutes of cuddling after sex. So there you have it. The Austrians are cuddlers. Another reason I'm in love with this country. Subtitle: Don't go opening a door for an Austrian woman. She can open her own damn door. I grew up with a single mum who'd always say, be good to people, but be extraordinary to women. You have no idea. The thing I think I have no idea about is that it ain't easy being a woman sometimes. So I'd always open doors for women, invite them to walk through the door first, paid the bill on dates. Not because they're women, but because of the you have no idea part that my mum was trying to tell me. I kind of feel like I owe them on behalf of the whole male species. However, ever since moving to Austria, I've hesitated in carrying out all of these gestures. On various occasions, me doing them has visibly made a woman feel uncomfortable, or they've openly let me know that it's pissed them off. You have no idea how fucking confused I am when I'm walking towards a door now in Austria at the same time as a woman. Should I open it? Let her walk through it first? No, you idiot. Let her open it and let you go through first. But what happens if she thinks then I'm some elitist male that wants the door open for him? Fuck, now I want to throw myself through the glass door. It typically ends in me half opening the door and then letting it go, then trying to open it again. It's really time consuming. And then there's this whole awkward scenario plays out where neither of us knows what's going on and how to get through the goddamn door. So we just stand there in front of the door feeling defeated. And that's why there are more and more automatic opening doors in Austria. Somebody must have gotten the word out to those buildings. Then there's the whole super romantic splitting the bill thing in Austria. The whole paying thing is a problem. It's got to be the most unsexiest moment of any date, says Leonie. I agree, Leonie. Just think about it. You're on the dream date. You're flying high together with great conversation and on-point flirting that's acting as if there's the wind beneath your wings. You're soaring. And then the waiter comes with the bill. And somebody says, getrennt bitte. As in, let's separate the bill. Passengers, this is your captain speaking. We're about to crash land, so please fasten your safety vests and put on your oxygen masks. If you're lucky, you end up crash landing into each other's genitals back at their place or yours. But the whole money thing can really define a date. An Aussie friend of mine lived with an Austrian boyfriend who would send her a monthly invoice for half of all the common expenses. I'm not joking. It was an invoice with a payment due date on it. Now, I'm not saying the one with the penis has to pay the bill because of some old charming Hollywood films we've all seen. No way. But let's just fight over the bill a little until one of us finally convinces the other to back off and let them pay. It's the more cute romantic thing to do, Austria. And I know what you're saying. That's expensive and I could save that money. What happens if I don't even end up dating them for very long or even worse, not getting laid afterwards? Well, I'd suggest you treat it like one of the country's favorite pastimes, the lottery. Sometimes you buy a ticket and win, and other times you don't. Either way, you could hit the jackpot. Subtitle, this is in German and I'll translate it after. Als Mann bist du der Hero des Abends, wenn du mit drei Frauen schmust und als Frau eine Hure. So this essentially says, as a guy, when you make out with three women in an evening, you're a hero. But as a woman, you're considered a whore. So this line is from Leone, and she was talking from experience. Now, I know this sentence above is hard to read, but the truth is even harder to swallow. And this is the truth. Like I've already made clear in this chapter, like in most of the world, being a woman ain't easy sometimes in Austria. And this applies when it comes to keeping up appearances if you care about what society thinks of you. Leone shares this about the experience of being a woman with a healthy, fulfilling sex life. In Austria, it's still standard that as a woman, you're made to feel absolutely like rubbish if you have too much sex. The body count is a big topic as a woman. As a woman that has a lot of sex, I didn't feel this is accepted in society like it is for men. Leone sharing this prompted me to ask more of the women I interviewed if they'd had the same experience, and it was unanimous. If a woman has an identical sex life to a man, they're severely shamed by society. But let's get more specific than society, as that's a faceless entity. They're shamed by friends, even the open-minded ones. They're shamed by the people they're having sex with. They're even shamed by the boyfriends of friends who should have no fucking opinion on their life whatsoever. This is a direct experience by Leone. I once had the boyfriend of a friend say to me, "It's your fault you're single. All you women want are fuck boys." For the sake of having a bit of a slap and tickle fun, let's imagine a man being told that by the girlfriend of a friend. I was once told by the boyfriend of a friend of mine, "You're such a player, a ladies' man. Up here, man, give me a five, a fist bump, just like you fisted that girl you'd nailed last night, you animal." Okay, my comparative and imagined scenario may be exaggerated, but I think most reading this would agree, not by much. There are other pressures women face in the dating and relationship scene in Austria, pressures formed by expectations passed down from the generation to generation. Women who do not have partners are pitied. People speak to them as if they are incomplete, missing something, some kind of disease. You constantly ask why you're not coupled up yet, says Leone. Even today, in the open-minded society we're living in, people find it hard to understand that being single is not necessarily a phase, a transition, a bridge of time between relationships. It is for many women and men a conscious and valid decision. Some have called Austria a paradise for introverts. This country, out of all, should understand if somebody consciously decides to simply fly solo and be single. But adversely, being coupled up or even married is the end goal that most have in mind when playing the dating game here. Like being married is the end boss. Well, many people are defeated by the end boss, considering the country has a 34% plus divorce rate and rising. Subtitle. In Austria, it's okay to be gay or queer, but be gay or queer quietly, please. Think about the last time you spotted a same-sex couple holding hands in public in Austria. It's okay, I'll wait. Actually, I won't, as I know the answer already. You haven't, because it's an extremely rare sight to see. Gay people don't hold hands or express their affection for each other in public very often in Austria. It's not because Austria, or at least Vienna, isn't a liberal and inclusive country, according to Georg, but rather because it's just simply not the Austrian thing to do, so be loud about anything that's not done in the standard typical way. I don't hold hands with my boyfriends in public, and I only have one friend who holds their partner's hand. And we're talking while we're hanging in the liberal hipster districts too, says Georg. At least in the bubble I live, Vienna is a liberal and inclusive city to live in, but that acceptance comes with a condition, says Georg. Austria likes things quiet, so the community should go quietly about being queer and gay. As long as they do it behind closed doors, it's fine. Ironically, the most gay thing to do is to buy an old farmhouse in the countryside and fix it up, but nobody would want to be gay in the countryside. Georg is from Graz. Luckily, he comes from a liberal and very accepting family. But being gay in the countryside can't be easy, he says. Most people only come out once they move to Vienna. That's how the typical coming out story goes. I always knew I was gay, and then I moved to Vienna and came out. To be part of the LGBTQ plus community, you need to be living in a place where there actually is a community. Hence why you'll never see a gay couple kissing in Linz. Seeing a gay couple expressing affection in Vienna is rare, and it's almost unheard of in the countryside or the smaller cities of Austria, says Georg. My grandma and some of my other family live in the countryside of Styria, like real diehard countryside. If I started kissing my boyfriend at the dinner table, I don't think they'd be openly homophobic. They would definitely stare with a stunned expression as if they're at the zoo, but they wouldn't say anything to my face, says Georg. No, they'd do the Austrian countryside thing and wait until I leave and gossip for 2 weeks after I have left. So this is the end of the chapter, people. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm going to exit stage right from this episode. It was a long chapter, so I'm sure you've had enough. I hope you're enjoying it somewhere warm, somewhere on the beach. It hasn't been the warmest or swimming weather in Vienna lately where I am, but you know, that's okay too. I don't mind that Vienna's turning into a tropical like a tropical country with its rain every afternoon. Anyway, people of Vienna and Austria, I'm going to leave you with a remix of the track that I played you at the top of the episode, because that's how easy it is to create music with AI now. Who would have thought? And my final words are, no matter how bad you've got it, keep loving, dating, and having lots of sex. And according to the Viennese, they've got it worse. Pussy.
The Worst Guide to Living in Austria is a Worst Agency production, hosted by Jacob Moss and Gabriel Schascher Schaffler. It's dropped every Monday and available everywhere you get your podcasts.